Okay. Chumash first. Several people who bring an asham. So an asham is offered from a kisba, or a siratizim, a female goat or a female sheep. But the Torah writes that if you can't afford a sheep, so a person is chayv an asham, not an asham talib, but a regular asham, asham shvu, asham milos, asham shivcha charufa. So if you can't afford a kisba, he brings two birds. Milor siga yadav deisa, he brings an asham, and that asham is essentially a composite of two different birds. Instead of one animal, you've got the split. One bird becomes a chatas, and one bird becomes an ola. So which comes first? When the kohen has two birds for the asham person, the asham candidate, which comes first? So Rashi, the pasuk says, at first the chatas, and then the ola. The equivus are asher lechatas rishona, and then afterwards is asheni yase ola kamishpat. So Rashi comments on to why the chatas precedes the ola. In many ways, the ola is a kodesh kadashim, it's the highest level of a karba, and it's kul Hashem. So if anything, the kiddush of the ola should give granted precedence. So Rashi has to invert it. Rashi says, Mashal amad davar dom, he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim, leproklet, shenichnas laratzos. The person who tries to appease the king, if the king is angry, not just your king, but a friend, reads that proklet, first you appease someone, and then nichnas daran achra. When someone's angry, and paid all of a sudden deliver a gift. First you want to appease them, first you want to rebuild the relationship, first you want to apologize, the korban chatas, then afterwards you want to deliver a gift. A gift would be just inappropriate. A gift would be, in some ways, a slap in the face. Now what's interesting about this Rashi, it's not unique to this Rashi, but it reminds us that we're expected to model our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on human relationships. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if the chatas first or the ola first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really going to be insulted. You have to first assuage Hashem, and then it's because the human relationships that we enjoy and that we interact with form our emotional shell, our emotional lives. And if you want to be emotional with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the only way we know how to be emotional, through relationships, through parent-child relationships, through sibling relationships, through husband-wife relationships, through friend relationships, through king relationships. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't really a father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't really a husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't really a king in the way that we interact with kings, we're expected to take this entire backdrop of our relationships with people, and not just the general ideas of our relations with people, but even the norms and even the details. If I'm angry with you, then you probably want to leave some time. You don't have to, which is an important lesson stum about how you rebuild relationships, what's appropriate, what timing is. When someone's angry with you, you have to give them time. Al teratzes chavercha b'shas kaso. Don't go over when they're angry, let the anger subside, try to say I'm sorry, then give a gift. Sometimes you have people that don't know how to handle themselves when a relationship has been ruptured. So this is a Rashi that really provides two guidelines. Number one, how to rebuild relationships, how to time it, and first you want to let the anger subside, first you want to repair, first you want to apologize, you want to appease, and then later you give a gift a little bit later. And of course, very often people underestimate the value of gifts. You say, well, I already apologized. Okay, you already apologized, but it may be nice to come over and give that person a gift, a verbal gift, a compliment, do something nice for that person. It doesn't always have to be a gift in terms of flowers or chocolates, although I like chocolate, but it doesn't have to be the gift-giving. It can just be, there are two stages to repairing a relationship. One is the apology. One is getting past the anger and the hurt. The other is just to provide a nice gesture for that person and to offer a gift. More importantly in Rashi is that the sequencing is modeled after the way that we would interact with other human beings, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're expected to interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though he's not anything in the human sphere. We're expected to interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through those prisms of human relationships, because that allows us to have a deep emotional relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's another Rashi about the Kohen Mashiach. The Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol who sins. So his sin is described with a very strange phrase. Im ha-kohen ha-mashiach yechata li-ashmas ha-am. I'll talk about deferring guilt. The Kohen Gadol sins, but whose fault is it? Li'ashmasam. What do the people have to do with it? Why are they guilty? Kohen Gadol sinned. He made a mistake. He committed a chatas. He made a wrong psak, and he acted upon that psak. So Rashi, of course, quotes the halacha that li'ashmasam is meant to convey that just like a parhelim davar shel tzibur, if the entire Am Yisrael commits an error, they bring a special chatas, it's only not just if they committed a mental error, but they actually executed a sin. Similarly with the Kohen Gadol, you shouldn't think that he brings a special korban if he just makes an intellectual error. He has to actually commit a sin. Rashi says, li'ashmasam, just like when it comes to the ashma of a parhelim davar shel tzibur, eino chayiv ela behelim davar im shigigas maisa, similarly with the Kohen Gadol. But then Rashi quotes a very, very tantalizing and ambiguous medrash. Ulefi Agada. I couldn't find this medrash. Ulefi Agada. Kishah Kohen HaGadol Chote. When the Kohen Gadol sins, it's really Ashmas Ha'am. What does that mean? Why is it Ashmas Ha'am? Chain Tluyim Ba'al Lechaper Aleihem. Because they're dependent on him for kapara. V'lispalel Ba'adam. And they're also reliant on him for tefillah. V'nasem Mekukal. And now he has become derailed. He has become compromised. It's not clear what Rashi means. I read Rashi two ways. I think they're really one and the same. Li'ashmasa'am, what does it mean? The first way to read Rashi is take the word ashmasa'am non-literally. Ashma doesn't mean they're guilty. Ashma can mean they're going to suffer. The word ashem comes, the Ramban says, from shomein, to lose something, to be destroyed. So this means that when the Kohen Gadol is compromised, they're going to suffer the consequences because his korbanos will be stalled. His tefillos won't be the same. He's out of action for a while till he brings the korban, at least mentally and experientially. So Rashi says, this is the first way to read Rashi, when a Kohen Gadol sins, they're going to suffer the consequences, Shehin Tluyim Bo, because they're dependent on him for kapara, for tefillah, and now he's mekukal. So liashma doesn't mean it's their fault, it means it's they're going to be affected by it. They're going to be impacted deleteriously. There's another way to read Rashi. Because he carries so much responsibility to daven for them and to mimachaper for them, that itself is why he made a mistake. Sometimes when we carry responsibility in life and we're obligated, the weight of expectation can cause us to commit error. I told you, I talk about this on Wednesday night. Sometimes our sins are based on very, very deep psychological drives. And sometimes expectations and duty and responsibility, the pressure mounts and we can make mistakes because we feel under pressure. So li'ashmasam means because they're dependent on the Kohen Gadol for tefillah and for kapara, that's why he perhaps made a mistake. Not that he's blaming them or throwing under the bus, but the Torah is psychoanalyzing human nature, that maybe the Kohen's mistake is based on the li'ashmasam. So Rashi could be read two ways and they're really the same. Number one is, because they're dependent on him, the weight of expectation and the weight of responsibility may be part of the reason that he made an error, may be part of the reason that he failed. And once he fails, of course, they're going to suffer the consequences because he has to daven for them and bring korbanos for them. It's a very, very provocative phrase. Li'ashmas ha'am, the Kohen Gadol sin, is their guilt or their loss. It's not clear from Rashi. Is it their loss because they'll be impacted negatively? Or is it their not guilt because they did anything wrong, but because they're so reliant on him? Sometimes when you know that you are relied upon, the pressure can become very overwhelming. And you sometimes, because of the fear of failure, you don't want to fail people. Sometimes you make errors and mistakes because of the pressure. And it's important to recognize that within yourself, that sometimes people that take responsibility will fail. And life is about failure. Life is about living with failure and accepting your failure and acknowledging your failure rather than building a false narrative of invincibility and perfection, which you always try to keep up with. And when you can't, you feel very frustrated and depressed and angry. Okay, so it's an important Rashi about human failure, human expectation, and sometimes recognizing that when we take positions of leadership and responsibility, we're taking great pressures upon ourselves, and sometimes we can handle it, but sometimes we can't, and we have to forgive ourselves if we fail sometimes. Another interesting Rashi is contrasting the Hazas Hadam on the Parochas when Am Yisrael sins to the Hazas Hadam on the Parochas when the Kohen Gadol sins. They're both called Chatas Pnimius, which means the blood isn't just applied to the outer Mizbeach, it's applied to the inner Mizbeach and to the Parochas. It's almost like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is one stage further. You actually walk into the Kodesh HaKadashim. And when the Kohen Gadol sins, the blood is brought into the Parochas HaKodesh. But when Am Yisrael sins, the blood is applied, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Pasuk Yud Zayin, to the Pnei HaParochas, not the Parochas HaKodesh. So how come the Parochas, when it receives the blood for the Kohen Gadol sin, is referred to as Parochas HaKodesh? But the parochas, when it's receiving the blood, when Am Yisrael sins, it's referred to parochas without kodesh. So Rashi says another mashal. This is the second mashal. If a king and some of his subjects fail him, he's still considered a king. But if all of his subjects or most of his subjects rebel or disobey him, then his authority is deficient. Same thing here. When the Kohen Gadol sins, that's a hiccup. That's a blip. That's a slight fail. Parochas is still Parochas HaKodesh. But when Am Yisrael sins, there's no more Kedusha to the Mishkan. It can't be called Parochas HaKodesh. When most of Am Yisrael has sinned because of a faulty verdict of Beis Din, a Parhelim Davish al Tzibor, Rashi says, Afkan, Kisha Chote Koin Mashiach, when the Koin Mashiach sins, Adayin Shem Kedusha Smakom al Mikdash, he still have Kedusha. Mishachatu Kulam Chasu Shalom, if Am Yisrael sins in its entirety, or most of the majority, Nistalka HaKedusha. The parochas is no longer considered the makom of Kedusha. Another reminder, as I spoke about last week, that the Kedusha of the Mishkan stems from Am Yisrael. You think the Kedusha of the Mishkan is latent, is independent, is invulnerable to Am Yisrael's sin. But Hashem decides to indwell his presence because there's a people willing to embrace him. And when that people sin, they do no fault of their own, they made an error. But for the moment, until the Karban can rectify and repair the situation, it's not considered the Parochas HaKodesh. It's considered the Parochas, which is an amazing concept. The Beis HaMikdash loses its Kedusha because Am Yisrael has withdrawn from that full engagement with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So these are three very interesting Rashis. The first Rashi speaks about the sequencing between a Chatas and an Ola. Everyone's pretty tired this morning. Sequencing between a Chatas and an Ola. And the Chatas precedes the Ola, because just as in human relationships, first you have to mend and repair, and then you can offer a gift. Similarly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, it teaches us about how to repair a relationship. Timing, appropriateness, emotional intelligence, to know what to say when, what to offer. You get someone angry, and all of a sudden say, hey, let's go play some ball together. Let's go out for dinner. Let's go and enjoy one each other. You have to slowly rebuild. Sometimes relationships can only be rebuilt with time. People are very impatient sometimes. They want to rebuild relationships. Sometimes you just need a lot of time. Sometimes that time could be weeks. Sometimes that time could be months. When you really hurt someone, sometimes it takes a while for their emotions to recover and for the relationship to be repaired. So yeah, it's about timing and what to offer when and sequencing and thinking about how that person will respond. But second of all, Rashi is encouraging us to overlay our interaction with human beings onto our interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be deeply emotional, not just conceptual and dispassionate. Number two, Rashi mentions that when the Kohen Gadol sins, it's considerably Ashmas Ha'am because they are reliant on him for tefillah. Does that mean that they will suffer when he is sidelined, or does that mean that he is sidelined because of their reliance on him and the expectations that are built up that sometimes cause us to feel too much pressure and to fumble or to lose our equilibrium because we just feel that so much is expected of us? And finally, the Rashi about the parochas. When the Kohen Gadol sins, it's still parochas HaKodesh. When Am Yisrael sins, it's no longer Kadosh because the source of Kedusha of Mikdash is Am Yisrael. Everyone's really tired here in this corner. I feel a lot of fatigue. It's not me, I'm projecting it. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.